Move.
Hey Bert, Justin.
Hey there. I was wondering, I dialed in and I didn't hear a thing, and I'm like, it's strange.
Yeah, James had to step away from his desk, and then he's headed to the main conference.
Ah, so, gotcha.
Just getting things together. Well, that was good news you shared today, that Dan will be joining.
I was starting to sweat bullets over that one.
Especially since Dennis Roberts is going to show up to Oakland, you know?
Yeah.
That was
I think the congresswoman pretty much nailed his foot to the floor on that one. So anyway, I'll be going tonight, tomorrow night, to see what's going on.
Oh, you
there.
Will? Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Hi, I don't know if you heard me get on. This is Emily Tranter.
Hello, Emily.
Hi.
Hey, Emily, it's Justin. James is just getting things set up here. You should be on.
Hey, hi, Justin.
This is Bert getting on with SFO. Sorry, I didn't introduce myself.
That's okay. It's always a good challenge on these phone calls to keep everybody's voices straight. It takes me a while, but.
And it's bad.
But I always laugh at my boss. Oh, sorry.
Who's on the line? This is Janet speaking.
Hi, Bert. Janet. Emily Tranter from Noise is on.
Bert, get on SFO Noise.
Oh, I'm sorry. The first one. I'm sorry.
Emily.
Emily Tranter from Noise.
Thank you.
Yep. I was saying I always laugh at my boss because we'll be on conference calls with like him and like three women, and he always introduces himself and says, Dennis here. But it actually is a really good habit to get into when you're on these calls so that people know. But you can deduce easily when it's, you know, when you kind of have a small number of people.
Exactly.
But
all right, we're going to go ahead and call the meeting to order because it's already 1:32. So,
hello.
Oh, Elizabeth.
Elizabeth.
Hi there.
Hi, Elizabeth. We got Bert and Emily on the call, too.
And Justin.
And Justin. Age. Hello.
Okay, so the first thing on our meeting is a legislative news update from Noise. Emily?
Yep. Hi, everybody. Thank you for having me today. I think you probably saw from the email that James sent earlier, as well as something that I was going to speak to. As late as last week, midweek, I was hearing from the committee that they did not have firm dates of when the bill was going to come up, the FAA reauthorization bill. And news reports supported that. I mean, Chairman Thune said last Monday that, you know, he would hope it would come up in the next several weeks. And they're also trying to attach some tax riders to the bill that would, you know, because it's something that is a big package that they can attach other things to. So that gave it a little more oomph. However, I will share that there's a supersonics issue that's going around that Noise as the organization and the communities have concerns with. And I actually was talking to the committee on that, and they have we have a meeting on Thursday on this, the organization, to kind of just get some understanding with some other folks. We're not leading the meeting. This is a environmental community meeting that is happening. And basically what that told me, having a meeting on language that's in the FAA bill on Thursday of a week, is that it wasn't going to come up this week. However, then last night, as you will see, the Chairman Thune said, you know, that they have asked for amendments by Friday deadline, and they hope to have it up as early as next week. So that, you know, I have seen that be an indicator of, yes, this is it, we're doing it. And then I have also seen it happen the exact opposite, where you get, everybody gets their amendments in and it's all ready to go, and then something comes up, and then it gets pushed off and pushed off and pushed off. And as I think I mentioned last month, I can't completely recall, but with the timing of the Supreme Court vacancy and nomination process and getting confirmed by the Senate, and Majority Leader McConnell keeping the Senate in for, they usually take the whole month of August off for recess, keeping them in. That plays with timing. If, you know, on one hand, it gives them more time, but on the other hand, you know, are they just going to be pro forma and kind of, you know, waiting for looking at the judicial nomination? So it changed the landscape a little bit. So, but right now we are sort of in that, you can't kind of rest on your laurels. You have to be ready that it's going to come up next week. As so from the noise organization perspective is, you know, reiterating our concerns. And, you know, in the House language that we really felt was important on community engagement and on funding the centers of excellence, making sure that those are funded through the federal government. So that is, you know, we're obviously been communicating that to the committee over the course of this bill, you know, the life of the drafting of this bill, but using this as another opportunity. And so it's day to day. I think, you know, I'm meeting with committee staff on Thursday, so I will try and get a good sense and send out a noise alert if there's anything public I can share that, yeah, this is a done deal, it's coming up next week, or we're still in limbo, but we wanted to have all our ducks in a row. So that's basically kind of the news from here, unless anyone has any other specific questions. I know there's a lot that came in from your community groups. I just want to mention that there are a couple of community groups that are residents across the country who have joined Noise as, you know, so that they can kind of have the collaboration, and they can, if for some reason their roundtable isn't engaged, or there's no roundtable, or their communities aren't engaged. And several of them that are members, and then a couple that aren't, that I'm in communication with, have asked me already to review this document. And the one that I had was a little bit different than the one I'm looking at here that was sent around, but I am in the process of reviewing that. There is, you know, definitely the one that I looked at earlier had the supersonics issue front and center, and I didn't see that here, but maybe I just missed it.
Oh.
But I'm reviewing that, so I'm on that, and I will send back feedback to Noise members and then folks that have asked me outside that.
Okay, perfect. I really appreciate, this is Janet speaking, Emily. I really appreciate that you're willing to even look at that, because this came in fairly late to me in this process, but at the same time, it looks like it has a lot of good information in it. So that's why I went ahead and sent it out. So I apologize for that late send out.
No, I'm glad that you did. And it's really interesting to me, too, to see what Noise members are seeing this. I think that's important, and it's good. You know, and I think the original one that I saw that, again, was a little different, it's really well done, really well thought out. And, you know, I enjoy really working with community members across the country who I can learn from and get different perspectives from. So I will continue. I will, again, give you guys feedback on that. And don't worry about the lateness. I mean, it's all moving parts all of the time. So, and I shared with James, I'm going to try and stay on for a little while. I'm sure you can tell my voice, I'm a little under the weather, but I will, I'll be on and try, and if there's anything else that people have questions, I'll be in the background kind of listening.
Yeah, we have another person who has entered the room. I don't know your first name, sir.
Robert Holbrook.
He has a statement to make. Go ahead, Robert.
Hi, Emily. You and I met at the A&E conference. At the end of it, you wanted to keep in touch with me. I don't know if you remember me, but
yes, I do. And Robert, I understand you were one of the main authors of this document that Ann Hollander shared with me, and she and I have spoken about our meeting and this a couple of times.
Well, super. I'm glad that you do remember, and I know that she had told me that she had forwarded you this document, so that's great.
Yep.
The question I have for you is, Ann told me that there was a deadline for the Legislative Council, I believe, to accept amendments that was back in June 28th, if I recall correctly, and that the Maryland senators had gotten their requests into this Legislative Council before the deadline, which is why we have amendments that can be
Don't flip your phone.
Oh, sorry. Why we have amendments from them.
Yeah.
I drafted a couple of amendments, which I think are, I'd like to get some senator to sponsor them. Given that there's a deadline now of Friday, obviously we couldn't get them through the legislative council if that's required, or could we? Is there any path forward for amendments that we would like to make at this point, recognizing how short the time is?
That's a good question. I mean, so yeah, Leg Council usually wants a little bit of time to review, and because they have to give their kind of how you sort of write, you know, they're like the legal staff support for members of Congress and their staff. I don't know the answer to that, to be 100% honest. I think that it's not out of the question. But I would say that it would be pretty difficult. I think members would kind of need to have all of their ducks in a row and have everything kind of ready to go by Friday, which would be difficult. And if they really push Leg Council, I think it would definitely not be out of the realm of possibility. But that deadline was Leg Council. You know, lawyers will look at it. This deadline is that they have to get these amendments into the committee. So, you know, yeah. I can't imagine a scenario where a member has been sitting on an amendment for a month that they know is okay by Leg Council, and they've decided not to drop it. I'm sure there is a scenario out there that happens, but I'm just saying, like, those are the three kind of, you either have never thought of an amendment, you thought of one, you got Leg Council to approve it, and you're sitting on it, or you just thought of it this week or work brought it to you this week and you've got to really push for it. I'm being pretty vague, but I'm not 100% sure what, and I can try and find that out, but I'm not sure kind of where how hard that line is between members and Leg Council right now.
Well, yeah. And then if the Commerce Committee is saying we got to have everything done by Friday, if they're expecting stuff that's been reviewed by Leg Council, then the door's kind of shut, isn't it, practically?
Yeah, I mean, pretty close. You're getting pretty close, yeah.
Okay.
You're getting pretty close. And I can, you know, I don't know if you heard me say that I was going to be meeting on Thursday with staff, but I can try and make some calls tomorrow. It's almost closed the business here today. But it is getting close, yeah. But I'll be honest with you, I did not know about that Leg Council deadline, so that's also something that is internal a lot of times with members, where they'll hear that from Leg Council, and, you know, something comes up that's huge and that's a fix that people need to see. I mean, members aren't just going to say, oh, well, the lawyers that are our staff. So there's always room. It's just not we're getting pretty tight here.
Okay, I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yep.
Thank you very much. I appreciate
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Just a quick check. Sue, did you happen to join? Are you there?
Yeah, I had a hard time getting in. I'm sorry.
No problem. I just saw somebody popped in. Welcome.
Hey, Sue. Okay, so let's go on to the status of the FAA reauthorization.
James.
We have another person in the room. Hold on just a second. There's another person that entered the room.
Lydia Coop, City of Palo Alto, City Council.
Thank you, Lydia.
And then somebody on the phone wanted to say something.
Hi, James. Kathleen Wentworth.
Kathleen Wentworth on the line. Welcome, Kathleen.
Thank you.
Okay, so we'll go to the status of the FAA reauthorization and possible roundtable follow-up. What are we doing with that one?
One second. So I don't know if some of that was already covered by what Emily had reported in there as far as a status of what the reauthorization is. I think this item was put on here in order to see or discuss if there was going to be any what the roundtable follow-up, if any, at this point in time, or kind of chart a course on what we want to put in, you know, update the roundtable at their August 1st meeting. So that's kind of what that was put on here. So it sort of dovetails into out of the Emily's update and seeing where we are now with that. Elizabeth, yes.
We just got word from Bert, I'm sure you were copied on that email, that at the August 1st meeting, that FAN will be there for us. and maybe she might have some insight on that also. We could leave that, maybe we could put that on our agenda also, if she has any updates on the status of it.
Okay.
So I have a question.
Yes, Sue.
So unfortunately, I had a hard time getting into and missed Emily's part. So a couple of things I want. So you were talking about Friday being the deadline for comments. Was that correct?
For the Senate Commerce Committee asked for amendments. So like members of Congress, that's their deadline for bringing amendments to the FAA bill, because their hope is that it's going to come to the floor as early as next week. When they say as early as next week, that means they're giving themselves leeway to bring it up soon. But they're asking, and not that they are bringing it up next week, but their deadline that they posted today is for members of Congress to bring amendments. And what Robert Holbrook brought up just now in the room was that there had been an earlier deadline for members of Congress to get legislative counsel to review their amendments for like legal, you know, and statutory soundness. And so, but right now the deadline that members of Congress are working on is that like if they wanted to bring an amendment to the FAA bill, they needed to do that by the end of the day, Friday. So in 3 business days.
Okay, so for the roundtable and the legislative committee going forward, I just want to make sure that we're not in this predicament again, like we were with NextGen. And I'm sure we had reports, and the reports were given to us, and if I remember correctly, maybe one report, and it was all rosy and everything was wonderful, and we're the protect the community from the noise organization. And so I was presented like, wow, this is the greatest thing, NextGen, is we are going to be spared any more noise, and certainly not, we are going to be spared from new noise. So I'm concerned that these reorganization things and things like rolling out NextGen or next sections of NextGen, that we as FFO Roundtable and our reach out to the public, it's very clear how we can participate, how we can speak up and express our concerns, as well as learn accurately what's coming or possibly coming down on us. So I'm worried about that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if anyone else wants to address that, but this is my opinion in terms of the FAA bill. And I think, you know, there is a lot of proactive things in the FAA bill that are designed to, you know, to address what you just talked about, is the fact that NextGen was not good for communities, and then how do representatives, you know, kind of engage with that and come back to their communities on this stuff. But we are right in the middle. But in terms of NextGen and sort of any federal policy that and I'm talking about like really like high, kind of overarching high level policy, right? To me, this bill does not do anything on the NextGen front that would move forward or change the course of the kind of things we're dealing with as community advocates. Right now, the sort of space that we're working in to advocate on behalf of the community is proactive in terms of asking for things to be addressed, reversed, looked at in federal policy through the FAA bill, and then reactively within the regulatory world. So we're talking NextGen Advisory Committee, you know, kind of all of these spaces that are outside of this piece of federal legislation. So I would say with some confidence that, you know, that a lot of what I am seeing with in this sort of deadline and this sort of face of FAA reauthorization is that the opportunities here, again, are more proactive. And I think that a lot of things have been offered, and all you can do is advocate on the things that have been offered that make sense, support people who are, you know, members of Congress who are working to kind of push the FAA and push this these issues through legislation. But the other opportunities are at the regulatory level. And I want to first say, if that answers your question, or if we want to talk more about this, but I actually should bring up another brief update that I don't want to confuse things, but I do want to bring up another update for you guys once that conversation sort of brought to an end, so I can pivot and just share one more good thing with you. So, but does that make sense, what I just said?
No, thank you. That's helpful. Uh-huh. And then go on to your next thing. So for the SFO roundtable itself, though, I want to know what we're going to do. All right, go ahead.
Okay, well, and so really quickly, and I'm sorry I didn't bring this up before, but as you know, NOIS sits on the Next Gen Advisory Committee. And Brad Pierce is the president of NOIS right now, and he is our appointed person to the NAC. And, you know, there we would really love, because, you know, the NAC right now, you know, only has kind of one community representative. And I know that there's a lot of desire for more community representation to be on there. And I think that's something that the NAC is evolving, and there's conversations to be had. But right now, we want to make sure as an organization that we're bringing things to the NAC and bringing concerns from community groups and the community as a whole before that body. But the Next Gen Advisory Committee, just the brief update I wanted to give, has shifted from being managed from an outside firm, which I thought was a great firm. They did a great job. But for whatever reason, they have shifted to being managed internally. And at the last Next Gen Advisory Committee meeting, the acting administrator of the FAA and their staff and the chairman of the Next Gen Advisory Committee said, and this is in federal, you know, this is in public record in the Federal Register, that they are recommitting to community engagement. And this is in context of the Northeast Corridor, but with the understanding that this needs to be nationwide. And so this relates back to what I was just saying about our opportunities in the regulatory space. I think there's a lot of opportunities, and I have had conversations subsequent to that meeting with FAA staff to say, you know, we want to, this is a positive thing. You know, we want to make sure that we are helpful, obviously, as an ACT member and my president. I'm speaking on behalf of my president right now, but also to make sure that this is the needs of community members and the ideas and all of that are brought to, you know, funneled through that and discussed. So that just reminded me to bring that point back, that these are good opportunities outside of the FAA reauthorization that we can be really impactful on, and as NOIS and NOIS members can be really engaged on. So I'm going to be talking with the FAA, and then I'll relay back to you and have NOIS members make sure that they can be, you know, that everyone's part of the conversation. So I just wanted to make sure to say that. And I can write up a little kind of memo on this, that because this is sort of out of left field when we're talking about legislative stuff, and to be a little more clear once I have a better sense of kind of the direction. But I just wanted to make that point because it's a good thing, and it's a positive thing from the FAA, from the Next Gen Advisory Committee. It's a good commitment. So that's all what I've got, but I would have been remiss if I didn't mention it.
Great. Thanks.
Thank you. Anybody else? Any other comments?
I'd make a comment.
Go ahead.
This is Robert Holbrook. Mm-hmm. Again, my understanding, and Emily, please correct me if I'm wrong, is that the FAA reauthorization occurs about every 5 years. It may have been a little longer since the last reauthorization. And that this is the time at which the Congress members in the House and the Senate offer most of the amendments that have to deal with the national airspace. And so this is the opportunity that we have to make some substantive changes that are not under the control of what I would consider to be a captive body, which is the NAC, the Next Gen Advisory Committee. And so the leverage is really here at this time, if we can only muster our resources to get things that we want. At what happened in the House, lots of studies, many of them positive, very little that's actionable in terms of providing relief to people on the ground. Two things that I can say are, one is the amendment, which was introduced as number 156, which enables the FAA administrator to disperse noise under 6,000 feet, if that's agreed by the airport operator in consultation with communities. And the other one is the study of noise impacts on aircraft speed, which could lead to a reduction in aircraft speeds if it doesn't compromise safety or efficiency, and it's shown that that provides significant relief for noise. So those two things to me could lead to positive stuff. The rest is all talk and studies for the future. The thing that is particularly distressing, and you've seen it, is some of the stuff regarding supersonic transport. The language of the Senate bill is really, really horrible, and I'm hoping the bill question for what we can do about that in the next 5 days, in the next 3 days.
I have a good suggestion on that, Robert. I have a really good suggestion on that. So I am actually meeting, our board was, you know, we only meet twice a year on big legislative items, but our board agreed that this was an egregious, you know, the Senate language is way ahead of the science and this doesn't make sense. And so I'm actually meeting on Thursday on this. And please, you know, I mean, I know this is a public meeting and stuff, but wait till the meeting's done to sort of shout to the rooftops on this. Noise is very engaged on this. We agree. We've got, to the extent that I'm partnered with other organizations, I don't want to speak out of turn, but also to the extent that the noise organization, to just reassure you that the noise organization is very out front on this and engaged and meeting on this right away, because it's the one thing that that we agree that, like, there's a pressure point there. And then on the other, I agree with you that there are, you know, some, you know, a lot of things are studies and a lot of things are sort of look to the future. I always say that I want to make sure that language that is put into law does not end up in regulatory purgatory. So it doesn't just sit there and it can actually be implemented, because I've seen this happen on both sides. So as a noise organization, some of these pieces are not in any way, shape or form in principle anything we would oppose, but want to make sure that things can get done. So I'd be happy to talk offline on this. I think you're right that, you know, this is the time. But I do think that there are, that the NAC, and I just gave that update to give an update on the NAC and sort of the my pulse on that. But the FAA operates separately from the NAC. It operates, and then, you know, ACRP gives recommendations to the FAA on you know, sort of studies and things like, you know, DNL and all of that. There are a lot of places outside of legislation that aren't captive and that you can make progress on. So that was my point. But I do think that, just to sum up, I think that there is a real space for engaging and talking and members being aware of the fact that this is, that these are issues that don't, that can happen outside of the FAA reauthorization process. And yes, it only happens every couple of years, but just because this FAA bill is passing, or is, you know, potential to pass next week, does not mean that that's the end stop of, you know, ability to use Congress and to engage and be and advocate positively. So, and that's my experience over the last, you know, 14 years, is that, you know, there are a lot of other opportunities. So I hope that makes sense.
Okay, we have one more question. Say your name.
Hi, this is Darlene Yapley, and I'm sorry I arrived late. I had parking difficulties. Everything that the FAA shares in meetings that we have in communities is that we don't hit the noise threshold, so therefore there isn't a noise problem. So it seems like there needs to be something that is passed that gives some legitimacy to the standards they're using now versus what we're actually experiencing. And there's all kinds of things in this document, possibly number 569 that was originally in the House. But we need something that gives us black and white ability to say there is a problem, because even in the recent Wall Street Journal article, they said there's no problem. And it, factually, there's no problem with their measurement. And so this adds to the confusion about the problem that's experienced by people. So there's no legitimacy right now to the non-DNL metrics that are the pain that we're actually experiencing. So any thoughts on what we can do there?
I don't want to sound trite or anything, but that is the age old question that is, that hits the nail on the head is, you know, what is this metric and how do we fix the fact that people don't experience noise in this metric and how they measure it. And that is something that our organization has been pushing for a long time. And I know that the FAA is working on it, and I'm not saying that that's okay. We should just say, oh, you know, forget it. They're working on it. We'll just wait for them to come about. But, or to give us some feedback. But I do think that one of the fears that I have, concerns that I have is legislating, you know, a new metric or a new way to look at things is very difficult because we are looking at major policy bodies in the United States like NEPA that would need to you need to pull back a bunch of layers. And so I think that there needs to be, and so when we legislate things, if it's not either written perfectly, and then, you know, you can kind of just, they can put it out of hand and say, oh, you know, that can't work. Or if it's something that is a huge undertaking that they're kind of already doing, that can kind of set us back. And so one of the things that we try to advocate on, and when I say I and we, I'm talking about Noise Board and active membership. And as the roundtable, you know, continues to be active members and we meet in person and all of that, it's kind of sort of, I'll be talking about the collective we, but when I talk about this, it's sort of the Noise membership, is that, you know, communication between Congress and the FAA about what they're actually doing and how they're actually understanding those exact issues in relation to federal policy, not just what they're telling you in an article or what one person is telling you in a meeting about, well, you know, you don't, you know, you're just imagining this, nothing's changed, all that. I mean, I've heard the gamut of all of this, but what I think is really important is for members of Congress to be talking to FAA officials at headquarters and that actually make the policy and understand the policy, environmental folks, you know, and everybody that can actually make change at the FAA to talk about how the impacts, what the impacts actually are and how we move beyond mitigation beyond that 65 and beyond that. And so I understand what you're saying, Darlene, about, you know, the black and white, but I think that what my concerns are is that if you put something in black and white, there's so many nuances higher up in the policy bodies and, or, you know, kind of layers of policy in our big great nation, that you have to sort of look at it holistically. And that, I believe honestly that we are moving towards that end. It's just taking a long time, and not everybody's hearing that. And not everybody has confidence in that, and I totally get that. But I think members of Congress talking to FAA policy folks is the key towards getting to the end that you have just expressed you want to get to. Yeah, and I know that's sounds like a convoluted answer, but it's hard. It's such a complex issue. It's hard to kind of wrap around.
I want to give anybody else on the line an opportunity. I know we have several of our advisory members, Bert from the SFO office, Kathleen Wentworth, and our consultant, Justin Cook. I do want us to kind of come back around to what the topic is, which is what's the roundtable follow-up. So is there anybody on the phone for roundtable advisory wanting to comment in?
What's our follow-up?
Or some general comments.
Are we good?
So you want, are you talking to us, those who are on the legislative committee?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, are you putting us aside for the moment? Okay, so I still would like to know what the SFO roundtable is going to do regarding anything. So from the point of view of legislative subcommittee, what focus can we move on the most that would be the most effective? And then my other question to the noise folks is, are you always aware of what's going on internationally? Because sometimes, I have allergy issues. Sometimes it looks as if the rest of the world has more common sense and more clout than the United States. So I want to be aware of that, and I was wondering if you are aware of that?
Oh, yeah. We track all the international sort of policies and everything very closely. All I can say is they're dealing with a different, their airspaces are very different. Their national policies, holistically are very different. But yes, we are, we're constantly referring to international studies on health impacts. We're constantly engaging with ICAO and other international folks, particularly in the Netherlands and France. So yes, we are very aware of it. There's not a whole lot I can say about, how we can kind of leverage that, but we're tracking it very closely.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know, is that we're not acting like we're in an isolated world and that we shouldn't be. So I'm pleased to know that you are paying attention and you would use whatever you could as argumentation to at least make us on a par with the rest of the world.
Kathleen, can you weigh in on where our representative is on this?
We're Representative Spears.
Spears, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's obviously in the Senate now, so that there's not any action going on in the House. From the bills that she, from the amendments she's put in and all of it, that she'll be supportive of. I can't imagine her not being supportive of anything that's helpful to the noise abatement and noise mitigation issue. You might ask Emily, and I'm sorry I didn't catch Emily's last name from noise, if what she's recommending to her constituent participants in terms of support right now, or is it at a point where you're waiting to see which amendments get through to be attached to see if they're going to be voted on? And do you want to recommend at the roundtable write letters to their senators about given amendments that seem to have the most promise? I mean, if you write a bill, a letter to a senator with, I favor these 27 amendments, that's probably not going to get as much attention. If you, had a well-reasoned letter with one or two or three amendments that you think are important to people in her area or his area. Advice for the roundtable on that?
So I'll say this. I think that in the House, and I started off with this, but I'll circle back to it. The noise organization, because we represent so many communities across the country, our communication with the House Committee and the Senate Committee has been general in the sense that we have said we support more communication between members of Congress and the FAA. There are a couple of specific amendments that we have called out. One is this, or amendments or language. One is on the supersonics issue, and one is on making sure that the centers of excellence are funded. Now, there has been, among a lot of community groups, and then some noise members, requests that the organization support the amendment or legislation language that asks for dispersion. Basically looking at dispersion of flight tracks and kind of going back to pre-next gen paths with 25 miles out. That's the language that I read. On that piece, it would take a little bit more of a long-term consultation between noise members, noise leadership, to iron out some concerns on that with a time frame. We wouldn't advise any noise members to or against, we wouldn't advise members to support that, but we also wouldn't, it's hard to kind of give feedback on some of these things, given the complexity of the issue and that these aren't noise members that are kind of that the genesis is from. So my short answer to that is, the issues that that are kind of black and white to the noise organization are on increased funding for health impact studies, increased community engagement, but the FAA is already doing that. So it's more like, hey, let's give us some deadlines and make sure that that happens, and then making sure that these centers of excellence are funded. So I can certainly, you know, circle back and make sure that these are, again, I said I was sort of looking at the Mr. Holbrook document, and also making sure that there was giving feedback on that. So within that, I can certainly kind of recommend to SFO, it's in the next, you know, before noon tomorrow my time, if there's anything beyond those two that I just listed that we should support. But at this point, the noise organization as a whole has only actively supported or actively weighed in on supersonics and funding the centers of excellence.
Funding the
what? Okay.
Centers of excellence, which means the research bodies that that the FAA has funded, that basically is a research and development for all noise studies. It's basically our version of academics on noise research. So it's MIT, you know, Georgia Tech, all those folks.
This is Elizabeth. Hi, James. This is Elizabeth. This is all really, really great information. And if I could maybe make a suggestion for the LEDGE committee, that when we do the report to the roundtable on August 1st, that we recommend that the roundtable as a body agree to support these three, or I think, I don't, Emily, you said three different highlighted topics here: the increase in community engagement, the supersonic fund, the supersonic issue, and the funding the Centers for Excellence. There's another one I missed. Maybe you can tell me. But anyway, as a letter, that we would then, as a body, write this letter to our Congress representatives, all of them in the Bay Area, that as the roundtable, we are advocating that our Congress also supports and advocates for these changes.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I mean, I think you, the only thing you would have to recognize is that the bill could very well be passed by then, because it could come up next week or the week after. However, as I said earlier, I mean, and I can, again, I can get this to you guys early so you can review it and all, whatever you need to do. But I would stand by my earlier comment that there is no bad time to talk to your members of Congress to say, we need more community engagement. We need to make sure all of this is funded. You know, there's no bad time to weigh in, especially when you're not sort of like, you know, a one amendment, rise or fall kind of thing. So that I don't think that's a bad idea. I would just say, if you want to do it before, sooner, I'm happy to help facilitate that.
So, James and Bert, what if we write a letter, and submit it today, tomorrow, just from the chair and the legislative committee? Do we need buy-in from the whole roundtable body to do that?
This is kind of an emergency situation because of the time limit.
It's usually preferred to take it in front of the roundtable, but in light of the timing, I think we've certainly authored documents before, as long as it's within the intent of, you know, the roundtable's greater mission.
Right.
And I can send language to James for you to review that, I think captures everything Elizabeth just said. That would be, that might be not, that might be simple to sort of give the stamp to, because it's very, again, like what you just said, in line with your mission.
That's what I propose that we do right away. And Emily, any help you can give us language so that we don't fall short somehow.
Absolutely. And I want to, right. Those are the kind of things that I'd be helpful, that I would be hopeful to take off your plate. So I can do that very easily if that's what's decided. Happy to do that.
So who's going to take the stab at doing the first draft?
Well, James, I think Emily's going to send you some language, and so if you want to send it off to Janet, or if you want to send it to me, but the goal would be
sure that we could work on it, kind of like do a quickie together, especially with all that information from Emily. And I think we did something similar to this not too long ago, Elizabeth, where you sent a letter, I think it was.
Yeah,
I can send you the noise letter that we sent to the house, and then that, I think that will be a really good starting point. That will be a really good, encapsulates the three things that you just mentioned, and you can tweak the community engagement language. But it, as your noise members, you can say, this is our legislative priorities, and see what you think. And I, it's COB for me today, but in the morning, I have not a lot going on tomorrow besides desk work, so I'm happy to dedicate this back and forth tomorrow. Because again, you're right. This is, this is a timing thing. So use me on this. I'm happy to be helpful, and I'll send this right away.
Okay. So just hold on, everybody. Just hold on. Okay. Sorry, we have several people here in the room that want to talk, but let me just lay out a couple of logistical things. So we're completely clear here. So Emily's going to send us some wording, and then we're going to bounce that over to Elizabeth, Janet, and Sue to start crafting the draft. So one quick limitation, I'm terribly sorry, I will have to be offline completely on Thursday, deal with a family matter. So targeting, trying to get something out by Friday, I think would be reasonable from a logistical standpoint. So I'm going to let Janet, Elizabeth,
we'll go back and forth.
And then we'll rope in Emily into those email conversations with the three of you as well, just in case there's any feedback. And then I'll jump in on the back end to finalize the formatting of the letter and make sure that we get that out, hopefully by the end of the day on Friday. Does that sound like a plan?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and let me make less work for you than more, okay? So whatever I can do, and I'm sorry, anything I can do to help, but I don't want to make more work.
But James, if we could get this wrapped up by tomorrow afternoon, you could get it out, right?
I will do my utmost, Elizabeth. I do apologize. It is kind of an urgent family matter that I need to be offline for on Thursday. So I'll see what I can do as soon as whatever I can get tomorrow before I go offline. If not, it'll be first thing Friday morning.
Sure. Yeah. What do you think?
Janet, there was some comments from the room.
Okay, yeah, so I want to make one comment first before we move forward. So, Emily, I truly do not misunderstand my comments. I truly appreciate the work that Noise has done and that you have done on this and that you are offering. I think any direction that we move, move that needle a little bit, is a good direction. I'm at the point where I want to see that needle move further and faster, and I know it can't. I get it, but I'm sitting here being a little bit on the frustrated side, because what we're supporting are more studies, and there are so many studies out there, and yet I understand it. I don't want to not do something, but at the same time, if there's any opportunity that you see moving forward where we can actually start looking at those CNLs and we can actually start putting some real teeth into our conversation and our requests and our asks and our to address the huge community needs, I am all behind you. So I'm not saying I don't appreciate what's being done. I do really appreciate this. I think we are moving slightly in that direction, and I realize it doesn't move fast enough, but just moving forward, if there's something you see that we need to jump on quickly, I don't even care if it's a midnight call, whatever it takes that for us to move that needle further, I'm right there with you. So just need to
I got
say.
It. And I hear what you're saying, and I truly believe from a fundamental level that being part of a round table is what is the most effective and long-term forward motion. So you guys are all doing the right thing, but I hear what you're saying.
Okay, and then we have a couple.
Mariana, can I have one more, please?
Yes.
So this is Sue from Pacifica. Yeah, so I did it on the midnight call. I like that. 1 o'clock in the morning is fine with me. So you already covered this, and if you want to do it offline, but somewhere along the line, I would really like to know about noise and the National League of Cities, because I guess I'm thinking that as the National League of Cities, we could have some clout there too. So whenever you want to comment on that.
Yeah, it's actually our agenda item 5, Sue. So.
All right, that's fine. Okay.
I appreciate. Look, I'm going to take one more comment from the public here, and then we'll move on to the next agenda item.
Hi, this is Darlene. When I think about the effort that Rob Khanna and Jackie Spear and Anna made on trying to get something in the House amendment on noise measurement, it seems like the roundtable should consider incorporating that something on those lines in the letter. It wasn't mentioned by noise as an area of importance. And again, there's been a lot of work with our House of Reps in this area. And if we had to prioritize one thing, I think that is a tangible thing that we could add and be supportive of our local Congress people and the efforts they've made. And I don't think it's contradictory to the efforts within the roundtable. So that's my.
Thank you. All right, we're gonna actually move on for the sake of time for this. And then if there's any other questions, if we have time at the end, we'll wrap back around if that's okay. So I think we go to 4, discussion of goals, actions, correlation and revised roundtable strategic and work plan.
Yeah, and I think this came from an idea or at least a comment that Sue had in regards to our work that we started to do for the strategic plan back a few weeks ago. And the suggestion was to have this on the agenda just to maybe talk just a couple of minutes about anything that was really stuck out about trying to take advantage of us working on a strategic plan to ensure that there's maybe some consistency or legislative objectives that are reflective in our strategic plan. So before I just kind of hand it over maybe to Sue and Janet for that one, the strategic plan, just as a reminder, is a 3-year overview of what the roundtable's work and goals are to be. And then below that is the work program that's done every year. And that has more actionable items in there. And as part of that work plan, there is a legislative section, I believe. Mm-hmm. And so that's where we would put the very specific things. We haven't started working on the work plan yet. We're doing a strategic plan first. And so for those of you who were at the meeting a couple of weeks ago, we handed out comment or versions of the document for members of the work program subcommittee to edit, and then we'll be meeting again in August, sometime in August, to go over those edits and refine that a bit. So that was just an update on that, but I'll let Sue comment on it.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure that we took a good look at it as legislative committee to make sure that we felt that we were written in a manner that, you know, with the legislative component of the SFO, it has a workable mandate, as it were, expectation by everybody within the strategic plan. And so that's why I just wanted it on there. And so see what you think, if that's strong enough. And then I'm trying to bring up the language that I wrote myself a couple of comments on. One of them was, I think we were going to give positive letters. I was thinking of maybe taking the positive out and saying, you know, focusing more on that type of thing.
I agree.
Not that I certainly believe in being positive, but I don't want somebody to think that we're hemmed in to only positive when we're trying to be forceful or, you know, reasonable.
Mm-hmm. Elizabeth?
If anybody else?
I don't see a problem in that.
Okay.
Any other comments?
Does it give us, is it strong enough so that we're expected for somebody new looking at it? Because this is a 3-year thing. We're going to have new members when they look at the strategic plan. Is it going to be clear that the legislative subcommittee has a mandate to help out, keep us kind of aware of things? And I don't want to get lost in the shuffle.
Sure, and the beauty of this is I think everyone who's on the legislative subcommittee has been participating in this work plan and strategic plan, so I think I'm going to be looking to you guys to make sure that those are reflected in it. So I will probably send out a reminder and another copy of the draft or the working draft, and then I'll highlight those who are on the legislative committee to make sure to look at it from that lens and get your feedback and input so we can have that in there. And I think that would be appropriate.
Good.
Well, thank you, James. I appreciate all you do on the support of the legislative committee. Thanks.
Good. Anything else? Okay, let's go on to item number five, which is discussion collaboration with NOISE and National League of Cities.
I think this was at the suggestion also that Sue had, and she was kind of starting to hit on that just a few minutes ago. So Sue, you want to chime in a bit?
So thank you. I want to make sure that we understand the National League of Cities, and I'm not clear on how focused they are on airport noise matters and the CNLs and the measurements and so I'm hoping that they're all really into it and that we can use our League of Cities as a voice, because I think if that's a national voice saying the same thing, that ought to maybe produce things faster. I don't know.
Yeah, so let me just speak to this, because and I would and let me follow up with Brittany Kohler, my counterpart at NLC, once I saw this agenda item today. This is Emily again, but basically, you know, we've been an affiliate. NOISE organization has been basically the kind of branch or kind of sort of focus group on noise issues forever since the 70s. And I will tell you that, you know, as you can imagine, and nobody wants to talk about noise unless they have to. So elected officials who aren't dealing with noise but have an airport aren't necessarily going to be really engaged on in the noise organization when there's no noise complaints and when there's no noise issues. So our organization's membership and engagement has ebbed and flowed over the last 40 some years. I think that the NLC in recent years, understanding NextGen, and with really great the staff before was great, the staff now is great, but with really great staffing, understands that this is an issue. But you also have to imagine that there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of constituents of theirs, you know, on their membership that don't care or think about noise issues. And so I'm not speaking on behalf of them as an affiliate, but I would say that, you know, they are going to want to make sure that their support of noise issues and their understanding of all of this is informed and is very well backed up. So what I would just say is, at this direction, which I think is a great direction, let me take a little bit of time to go back and talk to Brittany, who's my sort of point of contact now at NLC, and talk about sort of, you know, the desire of one of my main, you know, large regional members, someone, a member that represents a large regional part of our country, and think about ways that they can, you know, partner and focus. But to this point, they have had a space for the noise organization to have a meeting, you know, a legislative agenda, you know, sort of input at every single meeting for the last, you know, at least 20 years. I mean, I've been doing this for 12, and I think we represented them for another 5 or 6 before that. So they want a space for this. I just think that there's a lot of opportunity, and I would think it would be really good for me to go talk to her and kind of share this conversation or anything else that you want me to bring to her, so this can be a collaborative opportunity and kind of bring them into the fold, if that makes sense. Because they basically have sort of let the Noise organization as their affiliate kind of take the helm, because we have this singular and focused expertise. And if members are, and members of the their membership wants more focus on it, we should let them know and let them kind of figure out how they want to be engaged.
All right. Excellent answer. Thank you so much. Appreciate your proactiveness.
Yeah. And this is Jan. And the one other thing is, you know, there are many, many issues that come before NLC. And some of those issues maybe don't affect areas where they're noise. And maybe there's a trade-off here that we can share. Okay, good. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. And I just meant that they try and bring focus to the areas that they don't, you know, they try and kind of like compartmentalize or allow for a focus with certain groups or certain interests. And the way that they have done that is through the Noise organization. But I agree with you. Yep, okay. Absolutely.
Okay, any other comments on that? All right, let's move on to item 6, public comics on items not on the agenda. Anybody? Oh, go ahead.
One thing that wasn't on the agenda was this Maryland amendment, they have actually gotten 3 of them through the Ledge Council. And it seems to me that these are some things that actually would be that would be actionable by the Senate and are certainly likely to be proposed on Friday. One of them that I think the roundtable should support is the one that rolls up all of the positive noise amendments that went into the House into language that would then be congruent in the Senate. Because if the Senate passes it and the House has passed it, then there's no question that it's going to get kicked out in conference committee, which is a potential issue. So I'd like to see whether Noise is prepared to go there or not. The roundtable encourage our senators to adopt the amendment, which has subtitle E, Airport Noise Mitigation, on the at the beginning of it. It was in the package you sent yesterday. There's another amendment that I think that the Maryland folks have proposed, which is called Noise Measuring and Assessment, that I think would have some pretty powerful ramifications. Basically, what that calls for the FAA to do is to measure noise on the ground and publish it. Because I'm increasingly of the opinion that the FAA's noise models do not correctly predict noise that's experienced on the ground, because the noise models don't account for varying weather conditions. And when you account for those varying weather conditions, the noise is different, and maybe a lot different. So while I would strongly suggest that we incorporate the amendment I suggest earlier, I would also suggest that we consider that endorsing that noise amendment that the Maryland folks have. As to the third amendment, which was the one on dispersion, my inclination would be to let that one go. It's a strong reach. It's probably a further reach than this committee can do. And if we go with the first one that I proposed, there's language in there that enables the FAA administrator to disperse flights under 6,000 feet, so we get most of what we wanted anyhow.
So where do we go with that?
Well, this is Pacifica Sue speaking. His points were excellent. I think whatever we can do to hurry all that up, especially being congruent. I like that. That sounds good.
So this is Elizabeth. I hope I'm understanding Robert's position is that what he just reviewed were 3 amendments that Maryland has already gotten through the legislative committee and is going to be requested to be part of the reauthorization bill. Is that correct?
Correct.
And so what you're wanting the roundtable to do is to support, put some support behind at least 2 of those, the third not so much, in some form to advocate support for those 2. Is that right? Am I getting
at least the one, and preferably two. If we had more time, I might suggest the third, but we don't have time, so I'd give that up for now.
Okay, and by having the roundtable body come out in support of those Maryland amendments, that the thought would be that that would add substance and a little bit more push for Congress to get them included. Or something like that. Is that right?
Correct. Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Yep, sounds good.
Say again?
I said, sounds good. I think you wrapped it up nicely.
Well, I'm just not, I don't know, has noise come out in support of those Maryland? Yes?
No, we haven't. So just so you know, the Maryland amendments, which are again in principle, something things support, they're not noise member generated. These are community groups that are not noise members, and I can't, as the staff, have the board sort of, it has not been. We have supported in principle by sending letters saying we support more community engagement, we're looking at metrics. And metrics is something, by the way, just go to an earlier point, is something that is very, very front and center on the noise priority list and on our sort of agenda in general. But from working with Congress and the FAA, it's going to have to come from the FAA, and Congress is going to have to push them in ways that aren't by amendment. But the Maryland amendments are not something that we have on paper come out in support of, not because we oppose them, but because there are some questions. And again, these folks are not noise members that have kind of drafted these.
Not to cut you short or anything. My sense is that I think that at this late stage, without having more discussion with the roundtable at large, that what we could, I feel like piggybacking on what the noise membership has already put forth, and we're going to get the language of that from Emily, that's probably all that we can do at this point. I agree, understanding what Emily said, that these recommendations are from resident groups and not roundtable elected official groups. So I understand your push, Robert. I'm just not sure that that's something that we can do right now.
So then this is Janet. So my question then would be, this is already, so do we only support things then that are from noise? I mean, no, don't misunderstand me, Emily, please. I'm not trying to.
No, it's okay.
There's
it's just that I haven't had time to vet, these are all coming up within the last week or 2 weeks or months that have been brought to our attention. So it's very difficult to do a turnaround with noise membership with that, but on specific issues. So we don't, it's not a, we don't support you if you're not a noise member. Don't get me wrong there. It's just the logistics of bringing together our board and a quorum, and then also or at least also having our membership be able to weigh in. And we do that in principle on what we support, but we don't go on record on things unless there's something that is we know for sure is going to, it's just difficult to kind of on with so many things rolling around, because there was 40 plus amendments in the House, to kind of parse through that when a lot of them aren't coming through.
And just to clarify, and maybe this is just kind of expand on what Elizabeth said, there's only so much that I feel like that I could advise comfortably that the legislative subcommittee can be doing before taking this to the roundtable. I mean, these documents I just saw this morning. I'll be honest, I haven't even dug through them all. So I can't imagine that this is something that we can immediately go through. Plus, we also do need to vet it ourselves through our consultants and such. So it, correct me if I'm wrong, Elizabeth. I think that we would include it, but we need to be able to run that through, you know, our own. So it's not necessarily a black and white line on saying what we, you know, we're automatically going, but NOIS has just that based off of off of what they've already done, we agreed with that.
Anyway, I think those are all good points. So I can certainly understand all of them. I think stepping back for a higher view still, I just want to repeat that these are the kind of things we don't want to find ourselves in, that there's some way that as future goes on, we're not in these emergency situations.
Robert Holbrook has a comment.
Yeah, I'd just like to say, so I'll bring my focus back to that one amendment, which is the roll-up of legislation that passed the House. I feel like we're in a place that a lot of legislators find themselves in where you might not like everything, but you have a choice of two possibilities in front of you. You can vote for or you can vote against. And you have to ask yourself, which is going to be doing the most good for the people that you represent? And I believe, and I believe that supporting this bill, the amendments that make the Senate bill congruent with language that's already passed by the House, is prudent for us to call to the attention of our senators and ask them to support. And if people just got it today and don't have a lot of time, spend 20 minutes taking a look at the language and see if there's anything in there that causes you concern. If there is, maybe, you know, flag it before tomorrow. And if that's the case, if you have one or two flags or something like that, then don't do it. But I wouldn't take the position that we shouldn't be doing anything, because the balance, in my view, is in favor of supporting this as opposed to letting it languish, because we haven't taken the time and the time since the House passed the bill to analyze the measures that the House actually passed and decide whether we like them or not. This isn't something new. This has been around for over a month. This language.
Our own Noise will probably already be doing that, Robert. So I will communicate to James what our board has thought about that. I'll just say that.
I think that's a reasonable compromise at this point.
Thank you.
And if we thank you, everybody.
No, that's.
I just had a topic.
All right, one more.
A topic that wasn't on the agenda. I think it's a question is when different communities, airplane communities, one of the attachments was a aviation impacted communities legislative recommendation that maybe the roundtable can consider how it will endorse or not endorse things that are put together by other roundtables and communities, hopefully with NOIS or maybe without NOIS, I don't know. I know there's a lot of NOIS cities that are involved in this, but I think it's a good question, which is what is the mechanism for endorsing, not endorsing? And there is a proposal that came forward from the Maryland group that other groups have joined, and it's in the handout as an example to get momentum.
So can we take that, Elizabeth, can that be something that we discuss as a
Well, we've also started that discussion in all of our discussions already about reaching out to public entities, different sources of public voice. I mean, we already talked about that at the general roundtable, but if you're talking about more precise analysis of that.
Well, I guess, I don't know. I just haven't had the time to really review it. And so that's kind of where I'm sitting right now. But, and I think that we're doing at the very last minute here something that is what we can do in conjunction with the NOIS office
that would be within our emergency signature authority kind of a thing. And
right.
to add more things right now, but let's maybe table that and we'll take another look at it and come back tomorrow and take a look at it again.
Okay.
Okay, is there anything else that anyone wants to bring up that was not on the agenda? Are we good? Going once, going twice. Okay.
Before people, and then Bert, Elizabeth, and Justin, if you guys could hang tight for a few minutes, I'm going to run to my phone for just some follow-up.
Roger that.
Not a problem.
Okay, then I'm going to go ahead and adjourn this meeting.
Could I ask one question of Emily? Or Elizabeth? Emily, excuse me?
Emily?
Yeah.
One question.
Yep, I'm here.
Emily, I'm curious what your plan is with regarding the SST stuff. You said you have a meeting on Thursday. Is that going to result in an amendment on Friday? Or are we going to be in a position where next week the Senate has voted on language, which is already drafted, and we're stuck having to unwind something that's very difficult to unwind at that point?
You know, I don't know the answer because, again, we're very proactive on this in terms of our priority, but other environmental groups that have environmental interests beyond noise are leading this effort, so I'm going with. And so I don't know how much I can talk about based on like what they've told their membership and all of that. I don't have a whole lot of answers, and I'm certainly, Robert, be happy to talk offline before and then after that meeting to give you a better sense. But right now I just don't have a whole ton of answers for you. But at least, but I can at least tell you that we're very aware and doing our best to make sure that this is addressed and, you know, not just laid to, oh, this isn't a big deal, because we understand how big of a deal it is.
Thank you.
Emily, thank you. I know you're not feeling well, so thank you for this.
No problem. It was so good to talk to all of you. I hope you all have a great afternoon, and I will be in touch via email and look forward to talking to all of you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
James? Justin? Bert?
I'm here.
I'm here.
Oh, just okay. A second. I'll be right back.
All right. I just got back to my desk here. So, and let me just check who else is here. Let's see. Elizabeth, you're still here. Kathleen, I think, left. Yes, okay, and Glenn, let me see here. Okay, looks like I got Justin, Elizabeth, Burt, and me, four. Okay. Okay, it is the four of us now, and we're waiting for Burt to come back.
Okay. We're going to talk about Elizabeth Lopez.
Yeah. So real quick, while we're waiting for Bert, so Elizabeth, I just got, so Emily just sent me the text. So I just told Janet that what I'm going to do is going to forward that over to you, her, Sue, and then CC Emily in that. So then the three of you can go ahead and start working on a draft, and whatever I can maybe nab by the end of the day tomorrow to chime in, I will. If not, I'll do that first thing on Friday.
Okay, I'm back.
Okay.
So yeah, she did give us the text of what Noise is put together, so that should hopefully serve as a good basis there.
Okay.
Okay. So it is the four of us. So I don't know if you all have had an opportunity to read Ms. Lopez's long question, and I really didn't want to open the door to that, but I really didn't understand what were some of the things that she wanted us to follow up from her presentation back in April. And, you know, when I tried to parse it a bit, there was a lot of commentary in it. So I wasn't sure what she wanted feedback in. And I wasn't comfortable putting in direct contact with our consultants to just eat up, you know, their time. And, you know, Bert could probably chime in on a little bit about this, but having conversations with her, half of it is kind of Noise 101 and kind of trying to explain to her what the round table is and what we can do and what we can't do and what we advocate for. And usually answering one question leads to three others. So I've easily utilized 90 minutes when I've given her like 20 minutes. So in this particular case here, I know that she had CC'd, you know, her supervisor and everything. So I did want to give her an opportunity to give us questions. But that being said, there was a lot of questions, and I don't want to set a precedence that's how we utilize our resources for one in particular individual who, you know, provides that. And my other concern is some of the questions, they're very I'm not sure how to put it, but I feel like they're almost grand jury-ish in the sense of like, what, you know, how's Roundtable, you know, impacting noise shifting? Well, that's not what we're doing, but, you know, I'm not sure what the direction we should do in regards to some of those questions.
Well, James, I can tell you this much. I met with her at the office. I'd allocated an hour for her, and it ended up being 3 hours later that we parted company.
Oh my goodness.
And it's very much the question she was asking me or what she asked here, in the simple fact that if you guys take noise from one area, say Brisbane, and you change from the port to the stick, then you're making a mess out of it and shifting noise somewhere else. And I said, well, this originally was Brisbane's asked to put the noise a little bit further around the community and then take that and go further to, they didn't like it and they wanted to change it somewhere else. And so that's where she's saying, okay, look, seems like no matter what we do, it's getting to the point where it would be problematic or get to shifting of noise. And at which point I said to her, look, you know, as far as shifting as noise goes, yes, we're talking, you know, wholesale taking flights that were here and never been there and moving them there. And so that's what the roundtable's edict is to do or not do.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, okay, I understand that. Now, when the FAA sat and listened to Brisbane saying, here we have this issue, and they came back and said, oh, yeah, we can help you with that. And they came up with the stick departure. That was something that I believe everybody at the time looked at it and said, it's not a huge shift, if it is a shift at all, and we think it would go well. And so she said, okay, so how come it came into San Francisco? And I said, I think if you look, and I brought up flight tracks, I said, San Francisco's always had some. in particular from the port or the stick. You've always had some. Now, with the change from those two waypoints going from SEPTI to stick, we found it increased the arc a little higher north. And I mean a little, not even an eighth of a mile, really. Eighth to a quarter, actually. Sorry. Then we found, okay, it was that. And then we had the denser flight tracks. And that's when things really started to become a problem. Folks had the repetition. Folks experienced more and more flights.
Right.
It just got to the point where that was the change, the real crux of the change, not so much that there were aircraft there.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, and I feel like she might be trying to catch us in a aha. Given the tone of her, of the way she asks certain questions, and then the way I read them, it's like and so I try to, you know, in the times I've had conversations with her, I've tried very well, you know, to explain sort of, you know, what our mission and our, you know, goals really are, but still it feels like we're kind of thrown into a sort of an adversary bucket of some sort. I'm just trying to figure out how, you know, I could attempt to phrase a few of these questions as best as I can to be very, you know, politically neutral in our goal and all these other things. But I just want to just, again, get, you know, leadership feedback here before we go down that way, because I am trying to push her off a little bit just because that's not my priority at the moment. And I think I made that very clear. Right. But when we do, I just want to get your input on that, specifically you, Elizabeth.
Yeah. That's a tough one, because I think no matter how we respond to her, she's going to take a position that we are doing something bad. And the Palo Alto people are also going to be, you know, starting to, I think, make more noise, make more, stronger comments about us, what we are trying to do to lessen noise over our skies. I mean, Mary Jo Fremont brought that up at the technical working group meeting. I forget exactly which one we were talking about, but she says, yeah, but you do that, then we've got more noise down over Palo Alto, you're going to push it there. So we are not a legislative body. We really have no authority. All we can do is try to advocate for our residents in San Mateo County with an understanding of how it is going to affect other residents. But the truth of the matter is, we're all being affected, and there's just not really enough airspace to do one way or another that's not going to affect somebody. And I think that we can't get into the weeds of responding to every specific question with a specific answer. And I think you've done a really good job, James, so far, of keeping it more high level and general. But Bert, God bless you for a 3-hour meeting. It's a no-win situation.
I actually felt it was positive because she did get some understanding. It was obvious that she needed a lot of education on it. And it did, in the end, reduce workload, because what she was asking for in the beginning would have been a nightmare. But when I showed her what we can and can't do and how we work it, it reduced it quite a bit, and I think it was good.
Yeah.
So what we can do is to encourage her to continue to come to the roundtable meetings and advocate for her her environment, you know, for her situation, to make sure that noise is not, quote unquote, shifted unbearably to one location or another, especially her, she's only focused over her neighborhood. Maybe she should get some of her other neighbors to come and, you know, weigh in, because then that would influence the roundtable body. We as coordinator, we as the chair, we as, you know, it's only one vote, really, on a body of 20. And so it's the roundtable as a body who advocates pros or cons for this or that. Does that sound like an angle that we could approach here with?
That was about the angle that I was going to try to shoot for. I mean, definitely not the dismissive, you know, tone that we typically get from our FAA letters, but definitely to say, you know, from a high level, this is really what we're going for, and we do value your involvement, but you do need mm-hmm. to like participate, and this is the most effective way, and you know, blah blah blah. So I coming up with wording on that's not a problem, and I think what my initial plan with this is, you know, once I get all my other work done, is kind of draft up a few things and then let you guys all take a look at that and, you know, yeah. give me comments on how we want to do that, because I think a lot of them, you know, I think she's asking, you know, some of the other questions like, well, when did you guys talk about Bodega? What are you doing to reduce that? You know, a lot of that just takes a little bit of time pointing back to saying, well, we discussed this back in January, and here's, you know, Justin's summary to that. That's about it. So that just takes a little bit of time. And what's interesting is a lot of the questions that she's asking, they're just enough in the weeds that those are perfect technical working group conversations, because those slow down enough for us to ask those. The problem is, my understanding is that she always has conflicts during those times. So I have tried to encourage her to participate as best if able to, because those are really the in the weeds that she seems to be most particularly interested in some of these questions. So what I can do is just continue to advocate for that we provide that as a mechanism for those kinds of detailed questions and conversations.
Yeah.
That's what
go ahead, Justin, go ahead. Sorry to interrupt.
Okay.
Go ahead,
no, it's okay. No, that's what I was thinking along those lines too, is because a lot of the later questions really have to do with technical working group that maybe mention that we're working on the work plan, we're kind of taking together all the summarizing information from these technical working work groups, and now is a good time maybe to try to get involved in that, so that, you know, as we're creating the work plan, you know, your input is being, you know, taken into consideration going forward
sure.
for the next year.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, nobody wants to signal her out to dump noise on top of, right? Necessarily.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
That, if anybody else.
James, recommendation, don't worry about it until next week.
Okay. And that's what I was just going to wait for us to get the packet shipped and everything, which is going to be next week. So after I get all the reports and put them in and everything, I'll have a little bit of breathing room in there to take a stab at it. And this, like I said, once I do, I'll send it all out to you guys, and I'll, you know, appreciate any feedback or additions added to that and stuff like that.
Okay.
So anyways, I just wanted to check where you guys were at and if that was an okay direction to go.
Yep. I think it is.
Yep.
We'll look forward to it. Okay. All right. So send that out to us, James, and we'll take a look at it. Gosh, tomorrow is such a busy day. I can't tell you that anyway. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, like I said, in the meantime, I'll let you guys work on that text, and I apologize. I'm going to be unavailable on Thursday, but I will do what I can until Wednesday, tomorrow, and then first thing Friday, do our best. I think it'd be reasonable we can try to get something out by the end of the day on Friday.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, everybody.
Hope all goes well with your family.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right. Bye-bye, everybody.
Take care.
Bye, James.